Jeremiah chapter 16. No wife here. The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. The divine reason given is because there was nothing but destruction and desolation coming upon the people. The prophet was a man of sign, and by a figure, Jerusalem, and even the whole nation were the wife of the Lord. Just as the redeemed are figuratively said to be the bride, the Lamb's wife. Abstinence from marriage was an intimation that his generation was rejected by God, given over to destruction. There is an analogy in the book of Revelation in the case of the divine contrast between the great whore and the bride, the Lamb's wife. And Jeremiah was also forbidden to enter into the house of mourning. Thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Equally, the prophet was forbidden to enter the house of feasting. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. Jeremiah was in the Jewish world, but not of it. Ages afterwards, a similar state of things obtained in relation to Jesus and his disciples in the Jewish world of his day. Just before he suffered, he said to the disciples, If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And for a similar reason, the Jewish world hated Jeremiah in his day, because God had chosen him out of that world, and because he spoke against it in every way. He was further encouraged by God as to the answer which he should give to the people when they should inquire, Wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Then shalt thou say unto them, Because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers. And there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. This was soon fulfilled in their eyes and in their days in the Babylonian captivity. But there was more and worse beyond that. As not only Jeremiah, but Ezekiel and Daniel, the prophets of the captivity, declared. And as even Moses himself had foretold in Deuteronomy 28. Now, more than 2,500 years after Jeremiah's day, we are witnesses of the truth of the word of God and are contemporary with the northern and universal captivity and dispersion that the context of this wonderful prophecy goes on to describe. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, The Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them, And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Wrapped around the dark and hidden regions of the earth, even round the Arctic Circle, in Europe and Asia, and with nothing further north, is the barbaric Russian Empire. The Scythia of the apostolic allusion in Colossians 3, the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel's prophecy in chapter 38, and the prototype of the Gog and Magog of the Apocalypse, chapter 20. Seeing the end from the beginning and looking far beyond the Babylonian captivity and beyond the dreadful experiences of Israel at the hands of the nations of Christendom, the Spirit of God in the prophet said, "Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They're not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things." The idolatries spoken of here are those prohibited in the law of Moses, illustrated in the books of Kings and denounced in the prophets and in Jeremiah, particularly with reference to Manasseh. Because of these things, after being fished and hunted for ages, Israel at last finds himself in a worse than Egyptian bondage in the land of the north. And so it has come to pass in Russia in general and in the Polish Pale of Settlement in particular, in the closing years of the 19th century and the opening years of the 20th. The true nature of this latter-day crisis is very little understood in Christendom, which is faithless concerning the purpose of God according to election. Nevertheless, there is some suspicion that a Jewish crisis is at hand, in which the fate of the nations of Christendom will be very, very deeply involved. And the inevitable tendency of the nations to burden themselves with Jerusalem and the Holy Land for the sake of conquering world dominion is a most cheering sign of the times to those who, like Jeremiah, have the hope of Israel in the knowledge of the purpose of God and the endeavor to conform to his will. And such are wont to comfort themselves with the concluding words of this chapter, taking up the words of the prophet's prayer in sincerity and truth. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, "Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit." True of Jeremiah's generation, true of ours. And the divine remedy is in the concluding words of the chapter. Shall a man make to himself gods, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. The lies and vanity were of their own making. God gave them over to their own folly. This is not mere inference, but the express declaration of the apostolic word concerning Christendom in turn. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie, that they all might be condemned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind.